Go presents In Defence Of, brought to you by Betfred.
Yes, people, Steve-O the Madman here, and welcome to In Defence Of, brought to you by Joe and Betball. Now, in this show, I invite some of my friends down to my gaff with a football topic they feel passionate about. Now, it could be that Leicester winning the league is the greatest Premiership achievement. In fact, the greatest achievement in football ever. It could be who's the greatest manager of all time. They have their say, I'll have my say, we'll hash it out, and maybe see if they can change my mind. Stepping up to the away end today is one of my funny friends... funny looking friends, Jacob Hawley! Bow, bow, bow!
Bruv, how you, mate? You good?
I am good, bruv. So, Jacob, what have you come to my gaff to discuss, bruv?
Okay, mate. I want to tell you, three of this current Arsenal team would get into the starting lineup of Arsenal Invincibles 2003-2004.
What?!
I know.
Whoa. Because this is the thing. I see a tweet recently and it says to achieve greatness in business, you have to have the delusions of an Arsenal fan. Because you got to go for broke.
Mate.
Really?
I know what you're going to say, yeah? That was an insane team. I watched that team a lot. Probably one of the best Premier League teams ever.
You know what? You can have your say in why you've come to me with this madness, but go up to the podium, lay down your case, I'll lay down a defence, and then we can come and hash it out here. Sweet, this is sweet, mental, sweet. Bruv.
Fine. Now listen, I've got to start this off by saying I'm an Arsenal fan, right? So I understand what the Invincibles are, like proper team, like historic team. Probably never be a team that does that ever again. Got to respect them, right? And I've got to acknowledge that current Arsenal team, mid-table, average, whatever, but... there's a reason that I genuinely believe a few of our players would get into that team back then. First of all, football's changed an awful lot, man. Like, tactically, technically, the players are fitter now. I genuinely believe that there's players that were winning things back then that wouldn't get into teams now, right? Second, I think, like, every good team, whether we're talking about the Arsenal Invincibles, whether we're talking about treble-winning team for Man United, they do have bad players. You're never, ever going to have a team that has 11 world-class players. There's always going to be a few players in there that, if we're really being honest, you can take them out of there. And thirdly, the Arsenal players from today that I'm going to put into that old team, they're proper players, man. They're players that have done things for other clubs. They're players that have done things at international level. And they're performing consistently for this Arsenal team, who are bad. So genuinely, I believe that these three Arsenal players get in that old Invincible team.
Start the clock. I'm going to start off with the team. From 1 to 11, the team was tremendous. You had world-class in every single position. Not just world-class talent, you had world-class stats. That's very important. They were producing. The players you're probably going to bring from this new team do not produce. Let's talk about individuals. From start to back, like I said, you had a keeper who changed the game of English football at the time. He started moving things quicker. You had a fullback, both fullbacks, again, up and down, but could defend. It's very important that they could defend. You had a midfield general in Patrick Vieira, one of the greats. And then going forward, you had Dennis Bergkamp and you had the great Henri. You ain't taking any of them out, I'll tell you that. Now let's talk about, you said how football has changed. Yes, football has changed. They've got quicker, stronger. They can do more with a ball. But let me tell you where it hasn't changed, Jacob. Up there. Players now do not have the IQ. They do not have the IQ to get into the Invincible team. But let's talk about it, bro. Wow. Well, first of all, some great points. But there's one point in particular you said that made me think, I think he's right, you know. And that was when you said about how far football's come from then. So expand on that, bruv.
It's just moved so far. Like, not just like players, but the way teams play now. Mm. Do you know what I mean? The tactics teams are using. Like, you look what Pep's doing at City. Mm. What Chelsea have done, yes, in recent years even. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're doing things that I don't think teams would be able to deal with back then. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's things that are going on now. And it sounds mad to bring that to Arsenal when you look at Arsenal now floating around eighth place or whatever. But I still believe we're doing things that if you were to put them back then, like looking at goalkeepers, yeah, not speaking about specific players, but just goalkeepers on their own, yeah? Mm-hmm. What goalkeepers do nowadays, that'd be insane back then.
They can all
tear teams apart back then because one pass from a goalkeeper goes straight through a team.
But here's my thing. It's funny you said that because this is the thing with that team. They had Lehmann in that team, right? The Invincible team I'm talking about now. Because what we need to do, we need to see the team and how they played and then we can discuss whether these players that you're going to say will get in. But Lehmann, I remember he came from Dortmund at the time. Mm. And he changed the way, like this team we're playing with now, the way that we play now, where the keepers move it quick, and this starts with Arsenal, starts with Arsene Wenger.
Yeah, yeah.
He changed the game. True. So what you're talking about, to be fair, is right, but it started with Arsene Wenger at Arsenal. Lehmann getting the ball, playing it quick. All keepers do that now. Now, he wasn't as good on the ball as the Edersons and the Alissons now, but I think Lehmann and the players in that team were the start of what we see now. Remember in Arsenal, you know, Arsenal fan, playing quick football, getting forward
fully.
Quick.
Yeah, mate, fully. Like, it changed, but then this is 15 years ago, mate. Mm. This is what I have to keep pinching myself. It's been 15 years, man. And so now, it's not just goalkeepers playing the ball quickly. Like, centre-backs, completely different to back then, man. Like, you look at what a centre-back used to do back then. You used to have centre-backs who just lumps, really.
But I don't mind that. This is the thing. So I know you're going to come with players are quicker, more technique. When I played football, don't like to say it much. But I'll be honest with you. I could do kick-ups, and then the skillful players could probably do around the world. Yeah. That was like, whoa.
None of that, right?
Nah. So you're right, and all of that's moved forward. But for me, bro, the brain. Like, you got players now that they're making same errors, like 5-6 years into their careers. Back in the day, bro, like, a player would come in, like, it was more structured. Now, I do love the way football is now, where it's, you don't know what's going to happen from here to there, but I do like having a centre-back that defends, or course, a right back that can defend. You know what I mean?
You say about a player making mistakes. The point is now every player gambles. I used to play football with it myself. Like, the thing you'd hear from the sidelines every time I played in defence, clear it. If I clear a ball now, you're getting pulled off.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Because it's different now. Every centre back
is that right
risk.
Or wrong though? This is the big discussion.
Mate, I think it's right, because you watch a team who's good at that now, whether you're talking about a City, even someone like Brighton, well drilled team, well coached team, they'll tear apart a team that doesn't do that. Against a team that doesn't do that, they will tear them apart.
My problem is with that though, right, is that, and I think if I could find a balance between that centre half, how Vidic was, like Vidic now was more of the aggressive, and Ferdinand was the player. So I like that sort of balance.
Yeah.
But to have two centre-halves that are players, that's why the Premier League for me, or football around the world, is more balanced, because there's more mistakes.
Cool.
Back in the day, I remember in Arsenal, if Arsenal lost the game, oh, season's over now. Or if United beat Arsenal that first game, season's over. So I didn't like that, really. It was like the top teams won everything and all of that. Mm. But this Arsenal team, it was more than just having the best players, because you had the Lundbergs, you had young Ashley Cole, you had these players that, for me, again, it's like the Klopp factor, where like Lundberg in any other team wouldn't have been great. But in this Arsenal team, he was unbelievable. And that's got to count.
It's got to count, but then you flip that the other way and you look at this current Arsenal team. Mm-hmm. I genuinely believe there's a few players in this current Arsenal team, like, they don't look all that at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Put them in a top team. What can they do? And I think with a few of them, we're going to find out. This is a really young Arsenal team that I'm supporting at the moment, right? We're talking like 22-year-olds, 23-year-olds. They ain't going to sit around finishing eighth, season in, season out. You're going to see the top players from that, the Sakas, the Smith-Rowes, the Odegaards maybe even.
Mm-hmm.
5 years' time, they're going to be in Champions League finals, mate.
So in 5 years' time, then they'll get in the Invincible team.
Now, listen, I know you want to hear the players that I'm putting into that Arsenal team back there, right? So three players that I'm putting in. First of all, Bukayo Saka, I believe, gets in that team ahead of Freddie Ljungberg.
Second,
Thomas Partey, I believe, gets in that team ahead of Gilberto Silva.
No, Jake,
right?
No.
Let me just finish off. Aaron Ramsdale gets in that team ahead of Jens Lehmann.
No.
Where do you want to start?
Let's start from Freddie. Like, disrespect. Bro, you're an Arsenal
fan. And he's a legend. I'll say that now.
How can a kid, yeah, and I love Saka, by the way, he's going to be great, probably. No, in fact, he's going to be great. I know he's going to be great. But right now, statistically, IQ-wise, leadership-wise, he's so far behind. And I'm not saying Freddie was a leader, by the way.
He wasn't a leader.
Football IQ...
He was in the right position at the right time to finish moves off, yeah?
That's the hardest part of football, though.
It's a very hard part of football.
Of finishing moves off, and I don't like to bring this up, but, bro, one of the guys you're talking about couldn't finish the game from 12 yards, bro.
I know, but all right, let's talk about that. Let's talk about the fact that in a Euros final at 19 years of age, Bukayo Saka has taken a decisive penalty. Freddie Ljungberg played for Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in Freddie's career, did he even have a moment like that? Did he even have a moment where a manager said, I'm putting it on you to win my team a trophy. No. That never happened to Freddie. And Freddie wasn't a talisman. That's the difference. Mm-hmm. At 19 years of age, Saka, like, he hasn't got an armband on him, but he might as well, because he carries that Arsenal team, man. Yeah. He carries a team of men. He every time we play badly, and I go out of games, it happens a lot, mate, right? Every time we're playing badly, nothing's happening, right? We're too static, we're not creating nothing. The one player who drops in and goes, give me the ball, I'm going to beat someone.
No, he does.
Saka every time,
I am not taking
man.
That away from him, and, like, he's a good player in a bad team, to be honest
exactly,
with you.
Exactly, right? And that's hard to be.
I'll be honest with you. I think more people think about Freddie's package than they do about the package he brings onto the pitch, bro. Like, I think that season, the Invincible season, I'm sure he got the same as Bergkamp, which was 11 goals, 8 assists from the right side of midfield.
Yeah,
it wasn't how it was today.
Yeah.
Like, wingers, by the way. This was a guy that, when he was called upon defensively,
he helped his fullback. Yeah,
immensely.
Yeah,
and we're talking about how he never got called upon, which you're probably right. I can't really think of Wenger saying, Freddie, with Henri and everyone in the team saying, Freddie, I need you to do this.
Yeah.
I don't think that. But when Henri, Bergkamp and these players weren't in the team, they got injured. The likes of Freddie stepped up. The likes of Will Todd stepped up.
Yeah.
Big game player Freddie was, man. So I take a little bit of a, and I'm not even an Arsenal fan, but I what's the word?
You want to defend Freddie?
Yeah,
man.
I want to defend Freddie.
I hear you as well, but like,
rascal red hair though. But I can't.
Mate, he was mad back then. But this is my point. It's like great player, but 11 goals. Yeah, who's setting him up? He had Vieira charging through midfield, setting him up, man. He had Pires on the other side. He had Bergkamp. He had Henri moving defenders away from him. Saka, in his first season breaking into the team, and let's have it right, when he first broke into the team, he was a backup left back, and he got 14 assists.
That was mad.
That was more than any other teenager in Europe has ever done before, man. He's broke a record.
Yeah, he's done that since, though. Maybe he's a fullback. Maybe this is, like, again, and this is what Arsene Wenger saw. And, brother, again, it's a whole other episode, but Klopp sees a guy in Trent Alexander that done what Saka done, really. In fact, like, the amount of assists, right? But he kept him at fullback because he said, you know what? Them assists are coming.
Yeah, I hear you. But
so Saka's gone forward. And as I say, I remember having an argument. This is last January. He'd only scored 3 goals by then.
Yeah.
This is your talisman.
But, mate, but look at the team. I think last season we only scored about 50 goals in all competitions between the whole team. There ain't goals in that team. And I agree with you. I think he's a great left back. Mm. Like, personally, I was shouting that he should be playing left back for England at the time. But when you look at our team, there's no creativity in that midfield. There's not an awful lot going on up front. If you've got someone who can assist, you have to put him near the box. And that's what's happened with Saka. And credit to him, Saka's a player who's played left back. He's played left wing back.
Yeah.
He's played as an 8 in midfield. He's played on left wing. He's played right wing. And he's performed consistently. Freddie didn't have to move around.
It takes it back to what you said about footballers now are all more complete.
Of course
they
are.
Your best defender would look like a great striker back in definitely in the 90s, right?
And Saka's a perfect example of that, man. Saka, you can move around that pitch. There's been games. We beat Chelsea last season, right? At the end of the season, I think we beat them 2-0, played 3 at the back. Saka played right wing back. Right wing back. How many left-footed players can you think of from back in the day who you could slot at right wing back and would get a man of the match performance as Saka did in that game, man?
Not many.
And as I say, love Freddie. Great player. Arsenal legend, 100%.
You genuinely believe this then? Like, that Saka, we could take Freddie Ljungberg, yeah, the Arsenal great,
yeah,
out and put little baby Saka, who's
mate,
not
it's,
ready
it's,
yet.
It's baby Saka, but when a player's got that level of talent, they kick the door down, mate. It doesn't matter what is in front
but
of you.
You think it improves that Invincible team? That's the question. That's the question there, rude boy. Saka comes in, does he improve the team?
That's the hardest thing to say because
hypothetical.
I do think you got a point saying that as much as Freddie was a final product player, he was an end product player. He was that team needed that.
Yes.
Because you had Pires the other side, had Bergkamp. I still think Saka can do everything, bro. Like a year ago, if I'd said to you a year ago, England are going to make the Euros final, Saka is going to play as many games as anyone else. And he's going to take the final. You just said, that's mad.
Yeah.
He managed that in a season, man. We're talking now, like, we're about a quarter of the way into this season. By the end of this season, I'm telling you, that kid is something. Like, I've not seen talent like that since Fabregas. I'm not, like, Arsenal, I'm talking about, at Arsenal, in terms of, like, a young player coming through our academy.
I need to watch Arsenal more.
Nah, mate, you don't, because there's not been much since Fabregas. But my point is, in terms of young talent coming through, I think Saka just keeps the door down, man.
But this is the thing. I feel that because he's such a nice guy, that we almost, we allow little things that, how old is he now?
He's 19. I think he's just turned 20. Just turned
like, 20. We allow little things like, oh, Saka, man, nice guy, Miss Penn, this, that. Like, it's all of this. His character matters. And I remember doing a tweet saying that like, you can be a nice person because I genuinely believe in any industry you're in, if you're nice, it takes you a lot further, right?
Yeah.
And that's what I always tell people, be nice, man. And I think him being such a good character, him, every player talks about him so highly around the England team, around the Arsenal
team.
Yeah,
he's popular kid.
Helps him relax, to be honest with you. Yeah, so he's got things in his favour as well. If we're talking about the players that Lundberg had around him and whatnot, he's got things in his favour as well.
He's a talisman, man. He's a proper talisman.
Oh, not yet, Arsenal team.
Mate, if okay, Man City knock on Arsenal's door tomorrow, they're offering 70 million. Who they're offering it for? It's him. Could you ever say that about Ljungberg? Obviously different teams. But at what point was Ljungberg in demand? Do you know what I mean? People were knocking down our door for Vieira. People wanted Thierry Henry. People were coming for Pires at one point. Freddie wasn't that guy. And I honestly think that's a talent in itself. Fabregas did that at Arsenal. He carried an Arsenal team on his back.
Mm.
It's not easy to do that. I honestly think you put Freddie in this current Arsenal team, just to flip it on its head a little bit, you put Freddie in this current Arsenal team, I don't think he's shining the way Saka is.
And I don't doubt that, you know, but I can only go on that Freddie played in that team, like the invincible team.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the performance levels that he produced. Like, I can't say, you know what, well, if that guy come in there, I can't do that. But what I do want to know, and I'm not going to tell you if I agree with that one or yet, but what's your next one then? If you're saying take Freddie out.
Okay.
Who else could you take out of that team? Who?
I'm taking Gilberto Silva. And I'm replacing him with Thomas Partey.
You said, I forgot. Oh my God. Partey's crap. Absolutely.
Do you believe he's a crap midfielder?
Absolutely.
Do you not rate him?
He don't defend. Brother, listen. I'm not a stats guy, right? But I want to know how much tackles he makes. Defend.
Mate, he played in a Diego Simeone team for
that's
5 years.
That's when he was
years,
good. But he's come
years,
here now. He's come to Arsenal
years.
And you're trash. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. But it's gone on to him because he's not looking great.
We've infected
Arsenal
him.
Fans, comment,
We've
man.
We've infected him.
We've infected him, bruv. He had no mask on, bruv. Trust me. He needs the vaccine, rude boy. Because Arsenal has infected him. Now, he might get better. He might get better, but
He's had injuries.
There you go. Had to say that.
No. Come on. He's had injuries. Like Arteta, like
it's been a slow start. It's been a slow start for him.
But at the same time, he's had a few performances.
But hang on,
mate.
Forget fudge, Arteta. Yeah, let's talk about Gilberto, rude boy.
Okay.
What a player, mate.
Back then, what a player. Because back then, he was a holding midfielder. What did he have to do? Tackle, intercept, play it 5 yards to someone else.
Oh, it's so important.
But who does that now? Who does that? Like, you talk about the
They complicated the game too much, brother. You see Pep when he goes against Tuchel. Sorry to interrupt there, Jay. But you see him when he goes there, he's like,
that's
false nine, bruv.
Nah.
Get two people up there. Bergkamp drops because Gilberto's dropped. Like, fill spaces.
But let's go back to
simple.
Let's go back to Tuchel. Who's Tuchel's holding midfielder? You're not looking at Gilberto, you're looking at Jorginho, and he's a footballer. He's a footballer.
And that's why teams now are losing when they shouldn't be losing.
But they won the Champions League. Tuchel won the Champions League with that. Yeah. Tuchel might well win the league this season with that. Like, you're talking,
true.
Who's, like, look around now. Mm-hmm. Top teams now. Who's got a Gilberto Silva?
No, this is it.
Who's got a Gilberto Silva?
Oh, hang on though, James.
Who's got a player who tackles, intercepts, heads a ball, and the rest of it leave it?
Well, you lot thought you did with Partey, but he doesn't tackle.
Listen, Partey's a very different player. Stats-wise, before coming to Arsenal, right, for the last 5 years in Europe, no one had beaten a man in central midfield more often than Partey, apart from Thiago Alcantara.
Is it?
He's a complicated footballer, man. He's not just about tackles. I think this happens a lot. I think a lot of the time now, right, we're still not used to the fact that we still think, holding midfielders, yes, you've got to tackle, you've got to do this. No. You got to beat a man because football's changed. Mm. It's all about pressing now. All about pressing. You put Gilberto Silva at the base of our midfield now, I'm telling you, mate, he's in trouble.
In trouble.
Because he's getting pressed. He's getting pressed and he hasn't got a pass on him. So back off it.
Jacob. He's Brazilian, cut. Mate, even the road sweeper in Brazil and the ball drops to him, he's doing a flipping Jogo Bonita advert.
Listen, I ain't saying he's trash. I ain't saying he's Gilberto.
Oh, wow.
Of course I ain't saying he's trash. But the point I'm making is...
You take
the modern, like, I'd say deep line midfielder, you take the modern deep line midfielder, put him in that team, mate, they're spinning people. They're going past people. They're creating attacks straight away like that. Whereas back then... You were slowing the game down because you were taking an extra pass to go, right, I've won the ball back, where's Vieira? And Vieira has to be next to you to receive the ball. He can't go. Now, whether it's Partey, Jorginho, Thiago, who plays in a similar position, they receive a ball off a centre-back, head up, gone. Attack, start. We'd be even quicker than we used to be.
I don't mind where football's gone now. So I'm not here to debate where football's gone, it's quicker and all of this. But for me, because of that, because it's more open, here you go, it's a great analogy, I think. It might not be a great analogy, but... The best boxing fights are when they're all scrapping, yeah?
Yeah, scrapping.
But this is why people hated Mayweather, because he wouldn't engage in that, because he would be tactical. And that's how it was back in the day, bro. And it was a bit boring. You get Man United Arsenal game, stalemate. It was a stalemate. And it's because of how tactical they was. Now players and managers, go on, like, let's go forward.
Yeah, let's run with this.
Don't make it better.
Let's run with this boxing analogy, though. Yeah, if you're saying that Mayweather is kind of like the modern version of football in terms of more tactical, more technical, you put Mayweather in with some of those old.
No. I'm saying the opposite, Jay. I'm saying so Mayweather was more. So if modern football today is haymakers, but end to end, Brentford Chelsea game the other day,
Cool.
Mayweather was how it was back in the day. It was very tentative, like what you said, Gilberto.
It's more like that.
You know what I mean? But you got the results. You got put into the greatest team of all time, the Invincibles. That's what it produced. Now you're producing, and I love it. Don't get it twisted, but you got Pep, Liverpool, Chelsea. Like, who's going to win it this year? I don't know, but who cares, really? They're all good.
I don't mind it for excitement,
but back then, you built your team... You dominate.
But my point is, if you take a player like Partey, who's transformed that position, part of an era who have transformed that position, if you put them back in those old teams, they're changing things, man. And this is why people want to do this. Because as soon as you do evolve, as soon as you do move a position, whether we're talking about someone like a Partey who plays holding midfield completely differently, whether you're even talking about like the way Pep has his inverted fullbacks, you start doing that, you're tearing people apart because they're not ready for it.
Yeah, it's true.
You take a Thomas Partey, put him back in 2004, where people think, oh, he's just a holding midfielder, he's just going to win the ball off me and roll it over, and suddenly he's driving through.
No,
that's a different I will
say this, pardon me, because that's right. You're right on that. So I'm going to ask you the same question I asked about Lundberg, bro. Do you think Partey could make the Invincibles team better?
100%. This one for me is simple. This one for me is genuinely simple. 100% he would make them better. That's another attacking outlet. Like, I watched Arsenal back then, a lot. That Invincible season, awesome. The next season, not so much. Mm-hmm. Part of the problem was people realised you shut down Patrick Vieira, Arsenal struggled to get the ball forward. Yeah? You put Thomas Partey next to Patrick Vieira, what do you do? You mark one, they go the other side. We've still got an out ball. And I genuinely believe you put Thomas Partey at his peak, right? Let's say at his best, because I know he's had a bit of a dodgy 18 months with us, but peak Thomas Partey in that Arsenal team, we go even further, maybe win a Champions League.
I want to ask the people that are watching, by the way. I never really come this early to you lot, but do you think Partey makes the Invincibles better? In the comments there, man. Who was the last player?
Last one, I'm saying Aaron Ramsdale. Gets in that team ahead of Jens.
Is it over 18 show? Bleep me. off, Jacob. Honestly, brother. Honestly. Bruv. This geezer's been relegated two seasons in a row, you're going on against a guy that's a German legend. Dortmund legend.
No, he weren't a German legend. Let's have it right. He was playing in Oliver Kahn's day, If he was a German legend,
around that time, he got back in the German team and he was there or thereabouts.
He's a German legend. So is Ramsdale. Ramsdale's like probably number two for England behind Jordan Pickford, and he's just gone and got to the Euros finals. If we're talking international calibre, but Ramsdale's around that team. And
now, I don't watch, so here we go. Let me ask you. I don't watch Ramsdale as much. Now, I heard of Ramsdale back in the day. I used to see him always, he had a bright personality on social media. I see him in the boys' comments and I knew he brought that to the team, right?
Yeah.
But as a keeper, ability-wise, what's his strengths? What's his I don't watch him.
Mate, so listen, I've got to be honest. When I heard this summer that we're going to throw £23 million at Aaron Ramsdale, as you say, relegated twice, like, you know, I watched him for Sheffield a couple of times last season. And he was, you know, here, there, all right, whatever. I was like, I don't know about this guy. I watched him for Arsenal, mate. I swear now he has transformed that defence, yeah? Big part of it is that, yeah? This sounds mental. I'm going to say it. The guy's there for vibes. The guy's got vibes, yeah, man. I know Lehmann was a nutter.
Yeah.
Ramsdale's got vibes, bruv. Like, he genuinely instills that defence with confidence. He's there for, like, every corner. He's organising. He's slapping people on the back if they get ahead. Like, honestly, he improves the team so much just by doing that. But the next thing with this guy, mate, his feet are nuts.
Yeah,
mate.
Yeah.
Honestly,
modern day keeper.
You go through. I think Arsenal played about 8 games this season. If you were to pick the best passes out of those 8 games, they're all Ramsdale passes.
And man, this is the problem with football: that the best passer in the team's a keeper. That's it there for me, bro. Like. Oh my goodness.
But again, you go back then. You go back to 2004, mate. Lehmann weren't a passer of a
ball. Keepers used to kick the ball and end up on their knee.
Worst technique ever. And also, like it was the same every single time. I remember what we would do. Every single time, we'd go to the right back. We'd hit Lauren. Every pass. It was easy to defend against because you knew where the ball was going
to
go.
Well, I would say it's easy to defend against. You didn't lose.
No, we didn't lose because Lauren was good in the air and Vieira go over and win a few headers for him. But the point is, like, nowadays, you put someone like Ramsdale into that team, mate. Mate, the goals that Henri could have got, he could have got more goals than he got now because the ball's getting to him so much faster. Especially, I genuinely think this, if you got a team like Arsenal were back then, we were a quick team. We were a fast team. Do you know what I mean? Henri, Ljungberg, Pires was faster than people remember. Vieira was fast. Cole, fast. You put someone like Ramsdale who can just deliver that ball fast, they're off. They're gone. And we're not talking about now when, you know, as soon as a goalkeeper gets a ball, you see a defence is set. They've got, you know, three players. They're gonna press here. They're going to do that. But then teams weren't doing that. teams were having a chat. Yeah. Ball goes out for a goal kick. Teams are having a chat. Teams are looking at the clock, man. Like, I swear down. Keepers like Ramsdale. I mean, like, keepers like Edison, Alisson, because that is
well,
the
you're putting him in that elk.
I'm not saying he's that standard.
No, but I'm saying in the sense of he plays like that. That's
the style of play. That's the style of play I think we're looking at with Ramsdale. He's one of them who genuinely moves the ball so quickly, so well along the floor.
Lehmann was known that when he got into the team, that was his thing. Like, he moved the ball quickly and started
the counters.
He was urgent,
but he weren't accurate. Do you know, he didn't have those passes with his feet. He didn't have those throws that would just break lines like that. But I get it, he's urgent.
I remember, though, as well, an important thing is that they rolled it out the back and all of that, but now you're talking about, like, centre backs get there and you pass it to your deep line midfield and
exactly.
all of that. Like, that wasn't
exactly.
going on, but they wasn't told to do it.
They weren't told to do it, but mate, I watched Ramsdale. I don't think this is a guy just doing what he's told. This is a guy who sees the pitch, sees gaps, and puts the ball into those gaps, man. This is a guy who's got good vision, which is a mad thing to say for a goalkeeper. Like, 2004, if I told you I got a keeper with good vision, you'd be like, what, you've been Specsavers or something? That's mad, right? But this is the case with this goalkeeper. The other thing, and, like, I'm an Arsenal fan. I love Jens Lehmann. I love all these players that I'm taking out of this team. You go back to 2004, mate, look who we were being linked to in the transfer window. They were linking us to goalkeepers. People weren't talking about Lehmann as a top goalkeeper. People, like, they were saying that's an area Arsenal can improve.
But when they were doing that, he then became, okay, we've done a good job in keeping him, I'm sure. I remember he became, didn't he? I'm not an Arsenal fan, but I'm sure there's a point where Lehmann's our guy.
2 years later, Champions League final.
Oh, go on.
He gets sent off.
I know.
He gets sent off, man. And the one thing people are always going to say about that Invincible team, the one thing whenever, and I'm the first to say it in a pub, that Invincible team is the best team ever. The first thing people say to me, they never won a Champions League. Why is that? It's Jens Lehmann.
Wow.
And do you know the most heartbreaking thing about that? My favourite Arsenal player ever, Robert Pires, he had to come off in that Champions League final so we could bring a goalkeper on. And that's because of Lehmann. That's because I've got a little grudge.
I was going to say, personal, cuz.
No, seriously, mate, I rate Lehmann, everything like that. I genuinely think you put Ramsdale in that team, it makes the team a lot quicker, probably score more goals. I think he's a good shot stopper as well. And he's 23 years old.
Great discussion, Jay. Honestly, it's made me think. It's made me think. But I know you have come in to talk about the Invincibles starting 11, but I'm going to give you a chance here.
Okay.
And I don't even think this either, but do you think any of your strikers now could probably be the backup for Henri?
Well, getting the squad?
Yeah, because I believe, and this is going to be wild, you think, but I truly believe it with Chest, that Kanu Will Todd are better than the strikers you've got now. And I mean, putting Aubameyang in that. I would rather have Will Todd than Patrick Aubameyang. Yeah?
Is that his name? Pierre-Emerick. Nah, like... First of all, you've got to respect Aubameyang, man. You got he's been here, I think, 4 years, got two golden boots in that time.
Nah, he's done bits.
For a bad Arsenal team at Dortmund, he won things. He's a good player. But the reason I think he wouldn't just get in that Arsenal subs bench, but I think he'd get in that team a bit, right? Not regular, don't get me wrong, I'm not taking that on Real Bergkamp, okay. But I think he could be an asset in that team. Back then, we're talking 4-4-2. Yeah, yep. It's not the same as now where everyone plays with a lone striker, blah, blah, blah. And I think what a lot of people forget about our team back then, Henri, he's got his similarities with Aubameyang, you know, both quick, both drift to the left.
Number 14,
do you know what I mean? It's almost like they thought about it. But then, like, Henri, like, he got a lot of assists, man.
Yeah.
20 assists in a season. You said to someone like Aubameyang, mate, how do you fancy coming on? End of a game, half an hour to go, team's tired, your movement in the box, your pacing behind, and you've got a player next to you who can give 20 assists
in
a season.
Is this the Aubameyang that we see with the dreads, that we see flying to Milan every weekend? Because if you're saying to that Aubameyang, do you want to come and play second fiddle?
This is pre-malaria, pre-COVID focused Aubameyang, peak Aubameyang. Aubameyang's a difficult player for me because I honestly think I love Aubameyang a lot. I do think there's a reason he's never played for a top team. Do you know what I mean? He's been at Arsenal, he's been at Dortmund. You've never really seen a Madrid or a City or something like that really knock at the door for him. And I do think there's something lacking in his game.
Next level mentality or like discipline.
But if you're talking about as a super sub, a player who, as we've said about Aubameyang, can win golden boots, mate.
So we're talking about super sub. Do you remember when Kanu comes on against Chelsea?
Oh, man, yeah. No, trust me. But
like, this is the... Like, and that was... And Wenger deliberately... Because Kanu wasn't a starter, but he deliberately had someone that he knew didn't mind playing that second fiddle, mentality-wise, attitude-wise, but when come on, could change a game, man. So I probably wouldn't say Kanu's better than Aubameyang. I won't say that. But Slaven Wiltord, bro? Come on.
Some of these names, man. We've got Slaven Wiltord. This is like the Polish Wiltord, is it? Silvan.
Oh, is it? Oh, wow. Jesus, Silvan Wiltord. Oh, I butcher names. Don't try and get me with that, mate. But the truth is, Wiltord, he was big game player.
I think he won a league for us at Old Trafford.
Yes, he did. World Cup. I want to say he scored a World Cup final. Not World Cup final, Euro. But
he did bits for France, man. He did bits for France. I'll give you that.
And this is like, bro, this is the top team at the time. This is a France 98, a 2000 France team, right?
Yeah. Fully.
A 2004 Wiltord, though.
Fully, but I look at our bench now, like, who am I putting in there instead of Wiltord? Like, Pepe.
No,
I'm not putting Pepe.
I'm saying Pepe is the worst signing in the last 10 years in the whole of the Premier League.
Yeah, I'll give you that. I'll give you that. I can't even fight that. I've got to hold that one.
I want him to do well. I want him to.
No, I don't want to talk about Pepe, man. I'm not walking out of this. Do you know, there's one player on that Arsenal, but who are you going
to say? The Invincibles, we're forgetting Edu. What a player.
Yeah, I mean, no, Edu would captain this team now. Edu would walk into this team now. I mean, Edu and Partey, that's a tasty midfield. Do you know what I mean? But... Eddie, there's one player who is on this Arsenal bench right now. Again, hasn't had the best 18 months, last 18 months or so, but I genuinely think has got the potential to be maybe bigger than a Wiltord, bigger than, and it's Martinelli. Martinelli's a crazy player, man. He had a big injury last season. But when you watch that kid...
Yeah, he's amazing.
And that is a kid. How has he got the right to be beating 6'2" Premier League defenders in the air? And he does it. Brazilian kid. Man, he's got the lot, dribbles, pace. I watched him win the ball at Chelsea. And by the way, that was a Chelsea game we needed to win. Wins the ball in his own half. Goes through a team.
Good player. And this is my thing, and we discussed this before, about world-class players. And for me, that's all they're lacking is consistency. So it's like, what that Arsenal invincible team, and it clearly showed because they ended up invincible, was consistency.
Yeah, Philly.
You know what I mean? So whether it's Lundberg, Gilberto, or Lehmann in goal, they were consistent. Lehmann was consistently coming out, commanding the box. Lundberg was consistently getting into the box. Gilberto was consistently not giving the ball away and sweeping up, man.
Yeah,
all consistent and all like, just perfect. Like, sure. Yeah, perfect. And it's not like, I just feel with these players now, Partey, if we're looking at a prime Partey, you're like, yeah, man, like, that player playing at the top of his game, he demolishes that era. A beautiful keeper that can spray demands, he talks as well.
Yeah, yeah.
He might end up being a great Ramsdale. Same as Saka, everything he's got, but, like, are they at that top level now of it's Man United against Arsenal? You need to win this to win the league. Can you go and depend on those guys you've just said right now in this moment?
My point with all three of those guys, if you put, like, right now, when you're watching them in an Arsenal team of, let's have it right, like, average players, there's a lot of average players in that team. There's a lot of mid-table players. No, they can't do it week in, week out. But you put them in a team where they've got men behind them. They've got Sol Campbell, Kurt Torre behind them. They've got Lauren behind them. They've got Henri up front.
It'd be very different, man.
I think you're talking about Saka getting 14 assists in a season from left back.
Who's he assisting?
Aubameyang and who else? Do you know what I mean? That's one goal scorer in the whole team. Yeah. One goal scorer in the whole team. Whereas you put him in that other team and he's setting up Bergkamp, Pires, Henri, Kanu off the bench, Wiltor, Ljungberg. Bro, he could be breaking records. Genuinely, I think you're talking about taking probably three of the weaker players out of the Invincible team, replacing them with players who, yes, have been inconsistent, but if you were to put them in a team of, like, world-class players, legends, they could achieve insane things.
And this is the thing, yeah? I just think that them players you said, the ones that was in the Invincibles team, they're so good and so underrated that they make a good team great. I think every single player. So when you said weak, I don't think they had a weak player in that team. Oh,
okay.
Nowhere.
They weren't weak, but at the same time, we're watching these Arsenal players do bits. Let's have it right. Saka's done bits over the last 2 years, and he's doing it in a bad team. Where did Ljungberg go after Arsenal? When did he go?
I can say
he went to West Ham. And what did he do?
Nothing.
Exactly, mate. As soon as you took those players out of a good team and put them in bad teams, Lehmann, where did he go?
Again, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Gilberto, what did he do after Arsenal? Not a lot. What did they do before Arsenal? Not a lot.
Do you know what I mean?
So it's, but you're watching these players that I'm talking about in bad teams, and they're doing stuff, man. Like, strange statistic for you. Thomas Partey won La Liga last season, where he played two games at the start of the season before we signed him.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
He's got a medal.
But my point is, like, the players that I'm talking about, they never got to play in a team like that, and they probably never will. They'll probably never play at a team that's at that level. But if they were, like, judging them already on what they're doing in, like, average teams, really, they could do insane bits.
So what we're saying is we're going to bring Saka, Ramsdale, Partey to have a party. That's all they're going to be in the team for.
They're
coming for vibes because they are not coming to be invincible. They haven't got that mentality for me. Bruv, you've brought some great points, man, and again, I'm going to walk away thinking about them, and I will be bringing them into my arguments on Twitter. But you haven't changed my mind, mate. I'm sorry. Maybe Aubameyang gets on the bench. I'll give you that.
Is it?
Yeah.
All right, I'll give you that. Appreciate that, brother.
Lovely. So Jacob made some great points there, but do you agree? Do you think the players that he named will improve the Invincible team? I don't think they will. But what do you think? Make sure you have your say in the comments. I've been Steve-O the Madman. This has been my funny-looking friend, Jacob. This is In Defence Of, brought to you by Joe and BetBall. Ta-da. You've been listening to In Defence Of, brought to you by Joe and BetBall.